Sunday Karma live from the American Family Insurance Championship on ESPN Wisconsin. What a gorgeous day for the final round here at University Ridge on the west side of Madison. My name's Jesse Nelson. I am joined by special guest host from WKOW-TV here in Madison, Pablo Iglesias, in for Craig Karmazin and Kyle Wallace this morning. It's Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. Your way into the show, different phone number than usual, 844-770-3776 is how you can join us. 844-770-3776. It is day three, Pablo, and you were out here yesterday. We were all out here on Friday, and I love the AmFam Championship for a number of different reasons. Each day has its own personality. Friday, first day, the buzz, the excitement, everybody's back here together. A lot of corporate outings on Friday, having a great time, leading into the train concert on Friday night at Bree Stevens Field. Yesterday, the party for all the fans that are out here, the celebrity foursome, which we're going to talk plenty about.
I'm ready. Yesterday. I am ready for that.
And then today is for the golf fans. Ernie Els atop the leaderboard, Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly right there in contention in the top couple of scores heading into the final round today. TV coverage begins at 1:30 if you can't make it out here to University Ridge, but it is a gorgeous afternoon, a gorgeous morning for fans to come out and enjoy at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison, the 2024 AmFam Championship final day.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. As you said, too, it's a picturesque day. It is so nice to be out here. It's going to be a windy one, though, as you can see. Steve Stricker was already keeping his eyes on that. I think from what he was saying, too, yesterday at the end of his round, 15 to 20 mile an hour wind gusts. I was even talking to our senior chief meteorologist yesterday. He did verify that, even saying that it could get up to 30 miles an hour today. So, hey, if it's anybody who knows, especially going into the leader group, going into the situation where you are tied to possibly repeat as a champion, it's Steve Stricker who knows this course like the back of his hand, and I'm excited to see what this Sunday is going to entail with this leader group, with Jerry Kelly right behind him too. Also, Tung Chae Jae-D, who was a past winner. He's in the third to last groups, so it's going to be fun to see who's going to come out on top. This is always a competitive field. This is a tournament that a lot of golfers like to be a part of, too. They love to be out here, and especially with this being, I guess, the final year here at University Ridge before it moves to TPC Wisconsin, exciting opportunity for this tournament to get to play at that type of level course. But still, nevertheless, I've been covering this tournament for 4 years now, and it has just been, it's felt like a crown jewel, you know, I guess in a way. It's a truly, just watching and even driving up here this morning, getting to see what the golf course looks like today compared to, you know, it's always nice, it's always pristine, but just something about it, when you see the stanchions, when you see the big screens, all those things, it really feels cool to see this transformed into a unique event.
844-770-3776 is your number. Into the show, Jesse Nelson, Pablo Iglesias in for Craig and Kyle this morning on Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. So, Pablo Iglesias, you were following around the celebrity foursome yesterday afternoon.
I sure was.
A big win for our friend Andy North, who joined, by the way, the entire 11 o'clock hour Friday morning of Wilde and Tausch. Andy just wanted to hang out for the entire hour, so we weren't going to say no.
Sure,
the two-time U.S. Open champion and our friend wants to hang out. Let's let him. So Andy hung out. If you missed any of that, find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. Also, subscribe to the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels to find it as well. So Andy North and Milwaukee Bucks Pat Connaughton got the big win yesterday in the celebrity foursome, that duo defeating the out-of-state celebrities that made the appearance here today, Matt Ryan, former quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons and Indianapolis Colts, and one of the GOAT Olympians in United States Olympics history.
Possibly the GOAT, too. The most decorated. You could make an argument to call him the GOAT. That's
Michael
for sure.
Phelps was Matt Ryan's partner yesterday. So, Pablo, what was your experience following around for the TV crew that you're part of here at WKOW?
Oh, man. I just knew. Last year, unfortunately, I had to miss out on seeing Phelps, so I had to try to maneuver a way to find a way to work a little early, come in and get to see Phelps, because I was in studio for most of the day yesterday. But I was like, I have to see Michael Phelps. Like, the thing is that I was a high school swimmer. Jesse, contrary to popular belief, and I know I need to go a little further to describe on this medium. Michael Phelps and I are not the exact same physique. I don't know if you were aware of this, or you know, you've seen the two of us side by side. We are not the same physique. I was a high school swimmer, but that was about it. He was a high school swimmer, I'm sure too. But we also
do you think Michael Phelps was not a high school swimmer?
I don't want to assume. You never know. I just want to make sure, but. The thing is, he swims the butterfly. I swam the butterfly again. Probably
a lot of similarities between the two.
Yeah, you know, we're basically the same person. So you know, and I had a man bun at 1.2. He has it now. Again, I don't know if you're seeing the parallels. I clearly see them, and I'm not being delusional at all here.
I mean, you've drawn some comparisons, but that's, you know, that's like me comparing myself to Leonardo DiCaprio in our acting careers, because I was in a second grade church play and he was in the Titanic.
We
both acted in something around 2000.
That's true. Hey, I could see it. Again, we're not being delusional here on Sunday. It's good vibes only across the board. But no, legitimately, I think it was cool to get to see. It's fun in general to watch these events too, because you get to see these guys who, outside of Andy North, of course, who is a golfing legend, you get to see Pat Connaughton to be a little bit more strategic, and watching Phelps and Ryan too, just being alongside with them, whether they were in the rough or a little closer to the fairway from there, and just trying to figure out, because Matt Ryan too is a phenomenal golfer. He had some stripes. The same thing with Phelps too, and I think it was, even going beyond that, I think it was the first hole. This is where I know I'm like, these guys are strong as all hell and they can pull out power moves. Matt Ryan breaks out his driver for the first hole. Phelps breaks out his 3-wood. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I would never think when I am 400 plus yards out, yeah, I'm going 3-wood. This is my move. And he just sends an absolute dart down the middle when it's the rain starting to come down and everything. And again, it's just so cool because, again, just thinking about Michael Phelps and the illustrious Olympic career he had too. I remember being a kid watching it with my friends when he broke all of those records that one year in the Olympics, and it was just so much fun. And getting to see someone like that too, or even getting a glimpse of Derek Jeter when he was here a couple years or the last 2 years, that's what makes this event. Obviously, if you're a big golf fan, you love to be here. You love to get to see the storyline that's ahead of us today. But you also love to see that marquee event of the celebrity foursome and who's coming in here, watching everybody just be strategic with Andy North and just have a fun time, too.
Yeah, it's an amazing event. If you haven't had a chance to get out here to University Ridge Golf Course to watch the AmFam Championship over the number of years that this beautiful course has hosted it, the grandstand setup is outstanding for fans that want to come by. If you want to just post up on one of the holes and just watch all the different groups come through throughout the course of the day, you can do that. There's great hospitality. There's great experiences for young fans and kids who are coming in and want to learn golf and experience it for the first time. It's not the pressure of attending like when different courses in the state have hosted major championships, and like it's not that type of magnitude. Everyone's having fun too. These golfers are like perfectly content interacting with fans, taking pictures, having fun. Like that's what the Tour Champions is really all about, and we see that on full display. And Steve Stricker is really one of the poster childs of that, because he has been just a phenomenal host of this event, and he's golfed pretty doggone good in it the last couple of years too, with Ernie Els atop the leaderboard entering day three. They're going to tee off here in just a little bit here this morning at University Ridge in the AmFam Championship. Again, TV coverage begins on the Golf Channel today at 1:30, so we would love for you to come on out and experience this here at University Ridge. It's an amazing experience overall for you to attend this tournament. If you have a chance to get out here, please do it today. It is well worth your time. If you can't make it, 1:30, Golf Channel, you can see the drama come to its conclusion, and you get to see Madison featured on the national stage, which is always pretty cool as well.
Yeah, super fun, especially we have to talk about how Steve Stricker ended his round yesterday too. He went on a heater and then some to really talk about that, and he even addressed too, he knows that Ernie Els is a winner of last week's championships, but he absolutely knows what he's facing. But at the same point, too, he's got to give himself credit. We know how Steve Stricker is in the best way. He's super humble. He's never going to gloat. He knows even if he's playing well, he knows he's only as good as his next day. And that's still, though, the momentum that he's riding from yesterday. He bogeyed on 13 and then decided to turn around and have four straight birdies, which is now currently a season best for him, and then parring out on 18. That was a phenomenal run to put him up there. But you also have to give credit to Ernie Els, too, as we were talking about this earlier this morning. He skyrocketed up 20-something spots. I think it was 26. Let me go double-check. To do that in those elements, it was not a pretty day yesterday. It is truly, I don't know how else to say it. It was day and night when you look at today's weather versus yesterday, and even looking back at the highlights, him on 18. If you watch that approach as he set himself up for birdie from the fairway, I would never be able to hit a shot like that. I'd call that a miracle. I don't even think I could hit that shot if it was raining in a simulator. That was amazing how he put up that type of shot. So again, setting up for Ernie Els, and you got to give it to David Duvall too. One of the newer guys
right up
this
there
one.
Too. Yeah.
So they'll be in the leader group, but again, obviously the hometown guy. All eyes are going to be on Strick, and as we just keep emphasizing time and time, just in this first break or this first segment. This is going to be a fun championship group. This is going to be a fun championship Sunday. The weather's great. And on championship Sunday, you are going to see piles and piles of people just following Steve Stricker.
Yeah, I'm really curious how the leaderboard shakes out, because the last couple of years, there hasn't been a ton of drama on Sunday at the AmFam Championship. Tung Chai Jai-D had it in control 2 years ago. Last year, Stricker, it was a coronation and a celebration of him winning the title, but he was up by a couple of strokes heading into the last few holes. I have a feeling that between Stricker and Els, and never count out Jerry Kelly on day three, he always makes a run in this tournament on day three. He's up there too. To watch out for Jerry Kelly to try and get a chance to also win here at the AmFam Championship today as well. Going to be great to watch along on the Golf Channel starting at 1:30. It should wrap up around 4 o'clock or so. It might go a little bit longer, but hopefully that means there's some drama and some excitement leading into the final round here today at the AmFam Championship at University Ridge Golf Course on the west side of Madison. Jesse Nelson, special guest Pablo Iglesias of WKOW-TV here in Madison on Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. Thanks to our producers this morning, Riley Yauch in the Everlight Solar Studios at ESPN Madison, and Alex Strofe in the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios at The Avenue, Third Tree Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee. Your number into the show, 844-770-3776. So we talked about the celebrity foursome yesterday here at the AmFam Championship. I want to talk about a different foursome coming up next. We're going to get into some Green Bay Packers conversation. The big storyline of OTAs has suddenly turned into the plethora, the abundance of wide receiver talent that Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, and the gang have available to them. And I'm going to ask Pablo Iglesias which member of this foursome is going to be the first one who won't make it to the next tee time. We're going to talk about that next. Jason Wilde coming up at 10:30. The 7-11 per usual coming up at 11 o'clock. Palermo's picks to close out the show with you till noon. Don't go anywhere. Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. A lovely day. Sunday Karma live from the AmFam Championship at University Ridge Golf Course on the west side of Madison. In for Craig Karmazin and Kyle Wallace on this beautiful Sunday morning in Madison. I'm Jesse Nelson, along with WKOW's Pablo Iglesias from Channel 27 here in Madison. Riley Yauch, Alex Strofe helping us out running today's show in Madison and Milwaukee. 844-770-3776 is the number to get into the show. Ernie Els, Steve Stricker atop the AmFam Championship leaderboard heading into the final round, teeing off in just a little bit here coming up this morning. TV coverage on the Golf Channel begins at 1:30. If you can't make it out to join us here at University Ridge, 1:30. TV coverage begins on the Golf Channel. All right, let's talk a little Green Bay Packers, Pablo Iglesias, because OTA is now in the books, mandatory mini camp coming up next week. We're going to talk plenty more about the biggest takeaways from Jason Wilde, who covers the Packers, of course, up in Green Bay. He is scheduled to appear coming up in about 15 minutes with us right here on Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. One of the big storylines from OTAs was the plethora of wide receivers, the ensemble cast that's able to help lead the Green Bay Packers into the 2024 season, and how great it is that they don't have to pay a true number one wide receiver, that they have Christian Watson and Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs and Bo Melton and everybody that can help spread the ball around. And it's just this collective effort, and you don't need a true dependable number one. Like, who needs Stephon Diggs? Who needs CeeDee Lamb? We've got all these guys that can help spread it around.
It'd be great if Davante Adams was a Packer at one point, right? That would have been something.
Well, but Davante Adams was a hindrance to the Green Bay Packers because as we look back, we say, remember that one play against the 49ers when Rodgers tried to throw it to Davante and he was triple teamed and everybody else was wide open, and that's why you shouldn't have a number one wide receiver. That's suddenly become the revisionist narrative on Davante Adams' legacy in Green Bay, which baffles me. We've had a lot of conversations on all of our shows on ESPN Wisconsin this week about the wide receiver situation. But here's my question for you, and I may present this as a poll question coming up here on Twitter at ESPN Madison and at ESPN Milwaukee for Sunday Karma this morning. I want to make sure we ask Jason Wilde about this too, because we're talking golf. You're following the celebrity foursome around here at University Ridge yesterday, and Matt Ryan, Michael Phelps, Andy North, Pat Connaughton. You know, and my buddy John and I went golfing yesterday morning, and we were a twosome. We joined another twosome, two great guys, Greg and Neil. We got to know Greg and Neil golfing 18. We're like, this is a fun foursome. I would actually do this again sometime if we ever paths crossed.
But how'd you do? That's the question.
Oh, I kicked John's butt.
Okay.
And John was talking a big game coming in. He birdied the first couple of holes. He was a couple strokes up on me. I took care of business from like hole four on.
Took care of business.
Yeah, John had a rough day. It was his birthday on Friday.
Whoa, you're going to do that to a man on his birthday?
I mean, he should have golfed better. Like, not my fault.
Okay, all right. It is what it is.
He blamed that he didn't have a sweatshirt. He didn't know it was going to rain, so it started raining on him. He's like, oh, I'm so cold. I don't have my sweatshirt. So, anyway, we're talking foursomes. And the Packers, of course, have this great wide receiver foursome of Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, and Romeo Doubs. You know, second and now third-year players who have emerged as this, you know, collection of talent for Jordan Love to distribute the ball to. My question for you, Pablo, which of those four is going to be the first guy, for whatever reason, that ends up not being part of the foursome anymore?
Call this a hot take. Take it or leave it. Maybe it's just because of where he was drafted at and there were higher expectations. I just think you really have to start looking at Christian Watson, honestly. I have to go with that one. As much as a cap hit as it's going to be, he's guaranteed $6.7 million over the four-year contract that he signed in 2022. But it's just one of those situations where you hate to pinpoint it on this, but injuries just have not favored him. They knew that there was a little bit of a hamstring issue to begin with when he came in as well, and that's just been the rough thing. You know, we've seen pockets of how he could be an amazing weapon for the Green Bay Packers, but it's only been pockets, and we want to see the whole wallet. We want to see what everything in the cash bag can give with Christian Watson versus being here, being there. And I'm not trying to fault him for saying that he's, you know, not able to come back from injury. It's just more of those things where it's just a rough situation where you do have all of this young talent. Similar to Christian Watson, I mean, again, what he brings to the table is phenomenal, but right now it just feels too much of a risk to try to pay him even more to hope that he can pan out and try to stay healthy. I think, if anything, if I were to look at it, I'd go with Christian Watson at this point.
So here's how I look at it, and we want you to weigh in as well on the text line, 844-770-3776. Sunday Karma, Jesse Nelson, Pablo Iglesias in for Craig and Kyle this morning. Jason Wilde coming up, so we'll take your texts for now on this topic. Which member of the Packers wide receiver foursome will be the first person out of the foursome? Of course, we're talking Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, Tay Wicks, and Jaden Reed. Sorry, Bo Melton, you're kind of like, you're on standby if one of those guys
you
can't make it to tee
Bo.
Time.
Come on, man.
We'll call you Bo, you might get a chance. But actually, it's funny that we bring up Bo Melton, because when we explore the different reasons why each of these guys could be the first one out. For Christian Watson, it's performance related to injury and contract, like you mentioned, Pablo. Like, he's going to be due for a second contract. He and Doubs will be up first before the other two. And if he can't stay healthy and he's going to warrant what we think would be, you know, money that hasn't earned because of his playing time, he may seek that elsewhere and get an opportunity from a team that is desperate for a number two or a number three wide receiver and the kind of threat that he can pose when healthy. So I understand why Christian Watson is probably the guy that I'm going to pick, and I'm going to agree with you that he would be the first one that I think would probably be out. But why would it be the other ones? So let's look at Tay Wicks. If Tay Wicks is actually super talented, like we all believe that he is, he, you know, helped bring the offense around to what it became at the back half of last season. If Tay Wiggs is looking at it, and if everybody does stay healthy, Dobbs, Watson, Jaden Reed, we're all talking up Jaden Reed being the next number one wide receiver and all the things that he can do and the versatility that he brings to the offense. Tay Wiggs could say, well, I want to go get paid somewhere. Like, I deserve way better than this. I'm a really good wide receiver, and if you guys are putting your money towards these other guys, like, there's not enough to go around. Tay Wiggs is probably going to take a walk and go see if another team, any of the other 31, come calling saying, you know, you can be a valuable part of our offense. Jaden Reed, similar story. If he, you know, continues to emerge, and we've seen Rob Domofsky's piece this week about how people around the league are saying all these great things about Jaden Reed and what he can bring to the Packers offense this year, and he wants to take that next step and emerge as wide receiver one, many projecting that he could be that guy in Green Bay. Well, if the Packers choose not to pay him because they want to keep the ensemble cast, Jaden Reed may look at it. I could go get big wide receiver one money if he outperforms again this year, next year, and moves on. The other three or four could then stay in place in Green Bay. Jaden Reed could take a walk. Dobbs is an interesting one. Dobbs reminds me of Alan Lazard. Not necessarily in their physical skill set, but just in what their value is to the offense in Green Bay. Alan Lazard wasn't a wide receiver one. Romeo Dobbs isn't going to be wide receiver one, but he's going to be dependable wide receiver two. And if you can build up the rest of the wide receiver core around him being the two, have somebody like Watson or Reed that emerges as one, have another guy that can be more of that, like, either slot receiver or deep threat that can be the three, like, suddenly you've got a really good collection of talent there. Dobbs, to me, feels like the one who's going to be the most sturdy remaining in Green Bay. But I could see a case where if they want to pay money to all of the other receivers, Dobbs would be the odd one out because his ceiling appears to not be as high as what all of the other players are. So it's interesting to think about how this could play out in a couple of years. As Packers fans, of course, we hope that, you know, 8 championships, 9 championships, 10 championships in a row.
Well,
everybody,
we. Packers,
well, you're a Bears fan.
That's
I should,
right. Yeah, that's
we,
right.
The Packers fans, sitting on this side of the table.
I just realized I clicked for a second. Hang on.
Sorry, I don't mean to lump you in.
I didn't mean to cut you off mid-idea there.
Good luck with what you got going on this year.
Hey, baby, let's do it. Hey, let's go. Anyway, let's.
Riley Auk and Alex Stroh producing the shows. They'll be on my team for this one.
I'm sure they will side with me.
So we all hope, except Pablo, that the Packers will win a bunch of championships in a row, and everybody decides, you know what, let's all hang it up together. We're all going to retire at the same time. What a run we had. Biggest dynasty in football sports history. That's probably not going to happen. At some point, this collective, this ensemble, is going to break up. And my question is, who will be the first to leave it?
Yeah, and again, I think the first to leave it, that's a good question, because as you said, Jaden Reed, I think you can make a case for Jaden Reed to be the first guy to leave this one solely because of the talent and how fast he's skyrocketing. But I will say, real quick, it's a tough situation if I were to more so bring in three of the guys, the ones that you mentioned more so with Watson, Reed, and Dobbs. You really look at Watson, even though, again, we talked about his injury history, he is a very polished route runner. He has shown from day one that when he is electric, he's worked with Aaron Rodgers, that he can play some good ball and he can run some great routes. Whereas Jaden Reed and Romeo Dobbs, they're not bad route runners, but you saw it, especially in the early season last year, where there were a little bit of miscommunication things. They were still trying to get the playbook and run the routes down. They were kind of being Matt LaFleur was kind of plugging and playing a little bit, too. It just also felt like on the offensive side, where it's fun to do that when you have versatile guys, but at some point they need to learn what their true positions are. So going back to that, though, with your question, I do feel like it's Jaden Reed solely because if he does take that next step, which I firmly believe he can, he's a talented guy. He puts his head down. He comes in, not to say that this is a knock on anyone else, but you could just at least tell in the locker room, he comes in with a smile every day. He wants to work hard. He loves just being that kind of grinder from Michigan State and everything too, and enjoying what he does. And I think the money is definitely there. We very much know that the wide receiver one or whatever it is too. I mean, look at it with MVS when he went to the Chiefs. I mean, he got the bag out there because the Chiefs needed somebody to replace the large wideout of, you know, losing Tyreek Hill and all those things. Again, not the exact same type of position, but going back to it is the money is out there because that's what this league is all about. This league is all about making sure that even if you don't have B-Star, you can have a guy who, at least if you have a good quarterback, a great quarterback who can sling the ball, Mahomes-esque, if you will, or a solid quarterback, and you can get somebody that can complement your quarterback, that's where I think Jaden Reed can get some good money and get the bag if, again, he does make that step.
844-770-3776. I'm getting a couple of texts saying, Romeo Doubs reminds you of Alan Lazard. What are you talking about? Like, okay.
That
like,
was quite the comparison. I'll give him that.
I'm not saying they're the same player. I thought I made that clear. Let me reiterate. They're clearly not the same player. I was the guy who came on the air a couple of years ago and said, hey, if you're Alan Lazard's best friend, I don't know who that is, but talk to your buddy and tell him he's not a wide receiver one material guy. Like, he needs to just take the money and be valued in Green Bay because now he's going to be out of a job because he tried to go do something he couldn't do with not only in Green Bay, but also with the Jets. Like, what I mean about the Lazard comparison is Lazard was the safety blanket for Aaron Rodgers that final year. Like, it was all, or actually it was the year before that when Devontae was still here. Lazard was always the guy that, like, okay, he's going to be dependable. He's going to be open. I know I can go to that guy. He's going to run the right route. He's going to do his job. That's great. That's what I feel we're getting from Romeo Doubs. I think his ceiling is a little bit higher than Alan Lazard's, but I don't think he's wide receiver one material. I think Wicks is potentially that. I think Reed is potentially that. I think if Christian Watson could just stay healthy, you could make a case that he could be in a Tyreek Hill-type conversation. And I know that's a lofty expectation, but I think you can make that comp.
It's not far-fetched.
Doubs doesn't really have that. Like, it's just a different skill set. It's just a different, like, and again, he's not Alan Lazard. I don't want to say that he is Alan Lazard because he's better than Lazard. But it's just the safety blanket, the dependability. That's what stands out to me from Romeo Doubs. I think he's a great two. I don't think he's a great one if you want to pay him that kind of money.
I think it is one of those things, too. For instance, we saw it in the Charlotte game, we saw it when they played the Carolina Panthers. I'm thinking playing in the Queen City, yes. But
the Charlotte game.
The Charlotte Panthers. We saw it when they played the Carolina
Panthers. That's how irrelevant they've been the last couple of years. They could have changed their name and no one would notice.
Right, exactly. You saw it in the opportunities. Granted, I think Romeo Doubs did do well when he was seen to be had to be the number one, when
he had to
be the guy.
Right.
And no one's saying here that Romeo Doubs is not a good wide receiver. I think the thing is that, going to your point too, is that can he be the consistent number one? He can have pockets where he can have great games, but once corners, once DBs start figuring him out, that's where it gets a little testy because, again, I mean, he's a strong pass catcher. And when I say that is I go back to his rookie season and Aaron Rodgers could not stop talking about his strong hands, about how he catches the ball with his hands. And obviously people are like, well, of course you need to catch the ball with your hands. But it was how Aaron Rodgers went into it. And I know I don't want to toot Aaron Rodgers' horn too much over here. But it's one of those things where he went in depth and talked about how Romeo Doubs is has truly strong hands. He's not using his chest to try to catch the ball. His strong hands and keeps it secure. So that's one of the things. That's not why I'm saying he should be wide receiver one by any means, but it is a very unique skill set. And I think from a dependability standpoint, he is a good, consistent guy. I don't know if I truly believe if he can be the consistent number one guy, though.
And that's why I wonder if he thinks, because he'll be up with Watson at the same time because they came in the same class, if he thinks, you know, I need a bigger contract, and if Goody says, no, we're not going to give you that here, if he could actually be the first one that leaves. Interesting question. We're going to ask Jason Wilde about it. I know what's going to happen now. Jason's going to come on, and I produce their show, Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon every weekday, and all that we're going to hear is, oh, Jesse thinks Romeo Doubs is Alan Lazard. And now that's going to be a thing.
That's what I think. That's what I thought you said,
Of course you do. Thanks for that. Jason Wilde, scheduled to appear next live from University Ridge Golf Course. Round 3, final round action of the 2024 AmFam Championship as we continue on this beautiful, gorgeous, sunshine-filled morning. It's Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. I had some help. It ain't like I can make this kind of mess all by myself. Live from University Ridge Golf Course in the American Family Insurance Championship. Final round today on a beautiful sunny day. here at U-Ridge. Jesse Nelson, Pablo Iglesias in for Craig and Kyle. It's Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. Exciting news, Janet Masters, our friend here at the AmFam Championship, who has been tremendous helping us stay connected on everything all week.
One of the best.
She has shared that Jordan Love will be here around 1 o'clock this afternoon. I don't see on his itinerary for, of course, new AmFam ambassador, Jordan Love. I don't see on his itinerary joining Sunday Karma with Jesse and Pablo, which is very unfortunate.
We're hitting the back nine after this, actually. Once everything's taken down, we're just we're getting around out here, Jordan and I, just chopping it up. Chopping it up.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing him on the show. Well, since that's the case, I guess we'll talk to Jason Wilde instead. You hear him on Wilde and Tausch, very well-produced show every weekday morning, 9 to noon, on ESPN Wisconsin. Of course, he covers the Green Bay Packers, and he joins Sunday Karma at this time every week. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Well, you know, I think we saw throughout last season Jordan Love's decision-making improve throughout the year, and clearly his decision-making is at an elite level now, deciding not to talk to you two knuckleheads.
Oh,
hey!
Come on!
Come on! Ouch, well, man. On a Sunday, too, you're going to do that
That's
to us?
So mean.
I know. Well, Pablo's over
Why
there
are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
Going to be hanging out today. So, you know, this is what you get. All right, I have not been able to listen to this morning's program. Sydney has a soccer game today on the North Shore of Milwaukee, so we're getting some stuff done before we hit the road. Okay. But I have a friend in Milwaukee who texted me.
Oh, boy.
Now, Jesse, I feel like I'm pretty supportive of your career. We give you a hard time on the show, but if anybody doles out compliments between Tausch or me to you, it's me in a landslide. It's not even close. He'll occasionally, slip one in there.
Usually the compliments come with like a but, or it's like before saying something else about me, which I feel like we're going to right now here, too.
No. I mean, yeah, that's what's going to happen here. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, Wilde and Tausch is a fantastically produced program, especially when Hunter and Riley are in.
Yeah,
but
they do a great job.
What did you really? He sent me this text and he was incredulous. He's a longtime listener to all of our shows, very supportive of the station.
Mm-hmm.
Did you compare Romeo Doubs to Alan Lazard?
Oh, good grief!
Is that true?
I knew this was going to happen. So, Jason.
Here we go.
He did it.
Here
he did it, Wilde. He did it. I'm not even. He did it.
Hear me out, and then I want you to respond. So the overall question that led to this comparison.
Hear me out.
We're talking golf. We're out here at the AmFam Championship. You know how gorgeous it is. Pablo is following around his man crush Michael Phelps in the celebrity foursome. Big win for our friend
and
Andy North.
And very busy.
Yeah, he's a popular guy around here.
That's it.
So we were talking about the Packers wide receiver foursome, and I guess a little disrespect to Bo Melton, but we're talking about Wicks, Reed, Watson, and Dobbs. And, well, Bo plays a part in this because the question was, who will be the first player out of that foursome? And Pablo and I both agree it's probably Christian Watson, but you can look at the different reasons for why each player would leave. Watson, probably because he's not going to get signed to another contract if he can't stay healthy, or if he outperforms the contract, they want to keep the other guys. What I said about Romeo Doubs was that he is dependable as a number two, just like Alan Lazard was when Davante Adams was the number one. So I don't want to say that there's a direct comparison between the skill set of Romeo Doubs and Alan Lazard, but even during the commercial break when I received some grief about this on the text line, I was looking up some of the numbers. They're not that much different statistically in the couple of years that they've each emerged in Green Bay. And that's all I'm saying.
Tell me those statistics. Give me those numbers.
So Romeo Doubs, his rookie season, Romeo Doubs 2022, 42 catches, 425 yards, 3 touchdowns, started 7 games, played in 13. In his second season.
Second season,
59 catches, 674 yards, 8 touchdowns, played in all 17 games, started 16 of them. So those are the Doubs numbers. So, big jump, but 674 yards last year. Alan Lazard 2021, with Devontae as the number one, 40 catches.
Not his rookie season.
No, not his rookie season, in fairness. But this is when he became more of a focal point of the Packers offense, 2021 and 2022. That's what I'm looking at. 40 catches, 513 yards, 8 touchdowns in 21. When he was wide receiver 1, 60 catches, 788 yards, 6 touchdowns. That was his final year along with Rodgers in Green Bay. So when I look at that, what I think is that Romeo Doubs, I don't see him as being a full number one wide receiver at some point, but he's a really great above average number two. That's what I see from Romeo Doubs. The floor is yours.
I don't know if I want the floor. So here's the thing. So I appreciate your efforts there to try and explain it. Again, they're totally different players. We have gone through the comps. We've done this on our show. You yep. are there when this yep. happens. The comp to Alan Lazard is Malik Heath. He is a ferocious blocker. He can be productive in the passing game if given some opportunities, but you certainly don't want him. And look, I hate to do this to Alan Lazard because I like Alan Lazard a lot. I love the... You know, he had the story about him and him being a Lion King fan and wearing T-shirts that say Hakuna Matata and you got to put your past behind you and all that stuff. He's not a one or a two. That's the problem here. He was a one by default in 2022 because they traded the best wide receiver in football and they had three rookies and a Randall Cobb who was toward the end of his run. Like, let me ask you this, since you compare Romeo Doubs to Alan Lazard, if you had the current wide receiver group that the Packers have and the Jets cut Alan Lazard and Alan Lazard said, look, I just want to get back to Green Bay. I loved it there. My family loved coming from Iowa to see me play. I will play for the league minimum. And you signed him to the league minimum contract. Where would you put him in their pecking order?
I wouldn't sign him. I think he's. But I'm
well,
the one
you
who
have
said,
to sign him.
I'm the one who said a couple of years ago, Jason, whoever Alan Lazard's best friend is should pull him aside and say, hey, buddy, you're not a number one wide receiver. Quit asking for that kind of money. Quit thinking you're going to be that guy. Like, you're not a number
managed
one.
Managed to get it from the Jets.
And look, how's that so working out?
Right. My point is that Romeo Doubs is a better, well-rounded wide receiver than Alan Lazard. And he did it, you know, a half of that 2023 statistical line of his was with Jordan Love during the first half of the season when Jordan Love was, what, 57% completion rate? So my point is that I understand what you were trying to do. I'm not trying to pick on you.
You're trying a little
bit. I appreciate your efforts. No, I'm just trying to correct you. There's a big difference. But believe me, you know what I'm picking up. But like, if we're going to comp people, because this I think is praise for Romeo Doubs. I really do think he's James Jones, who, by the way, led the NFL in touchdown catches 1 year with 15, who rescued their 2015 season when Jordy blew his ACL out. And remember, they started that year 6-0. Even though they lost Jordy. We all forget that because the way they stumbled down the stretch. But James Jones is an outstanding number three and a solid number two in this league. And that's what I think Romeo Doubs is. I don't think he's a one. I'll agree with you on that. But I think he's a really good two. He's really good in the red zone. He's really good on third down. He's got really strong hands. So he's a reliable guy in clutch situations. I want him on this team. I don't want him to be my number one wide receiver. Now, you guys saying the first one out is Watson. That's purely based on his health, right? I mean, that's exactly what your reasoning has to be, right?
So I think it can be based on health, but also if he stays healthy and then he wants that wide receiver one money. Pablo, you were saying this too. Like, the contract could come into play there too.
Yeah, that's where my concern is. Again, it's not saying that I don't believe in Christian Watson can be great. I've seen pockets. We've seen the games where he has exploded. I just think from a consistency standpoint, and maybe I'm playing it more of the safe route, again, it's the risk is worth the reward, and you know how it goes. Fortune favors the bold. But in this situation, I don't know exactly how I feel about giving Christian Watson a bigger bag, a long-term commitment, based off of how many games he's played. Again, in those games he's played, I've been very impressed. I think he's been great. But again, it's just more of, is this going to be something that will just develop over time? He's going to get healthier. He's going to develop a better regimen. Or is this just one of those things where you might have to bite the bullet? I don't know. How do you feel about that, Wildy?
Well, Pablo, first of all, I wish I was as young and cool as you. I am not going to be able to use get him a bigger bag.
You can try.
I think you should.
No, just holster not. That one for Tuesday with old T. Throw him off guard a little bit.
No, I'm gonna just say instead that right now you're right. You have no business giving him a big contract. It'd be a mistake. He hasn't proven anything other than on occasion he can be a really good playmaker when he's healthy, but that when is just too infrequent. So you'll get no argument from me on that. The issue is if they have solved his hamstring problems, if he's going to play, I'm not even going to say he's going to play all 17 games. Let's say he plays 14 games and has, you know, he averaged what? 17 yards a catch, something like that, close to 17. Maybe it was only 15, but he was obviously very productive as a downfield receiver. That he adds an element to their offense that no one has the same type of skill set as him. Bo Melton has similar speed, and I do think you guys are sleeping on him a little bit. But my point is that Watson's, as Tausch would like to say, Natasha Bedingfield. That's not the comp. That's the song. It's all unwritten for him at this point. We don't know what he's going to be. But if he is what they think he's capable of and proves that, he is going to, again, this is my opportunity to use a cool kid phrase, and instead I'll say, going to get a large contract.
So say it. We'll say it. No, do it. Do it.
I'm going to make you do it, Jason.
If you're gonna poke fun at Jesse for it, I'm going to make you do it, Wildy. You got to say it. Get the bag. Got to say it. Say it back with me. Get the bag.
He's going to get the bag.
Yeah!
Let's go, baby. That's what you love to see. Or hear.
So I think they're in a really fascinating position for another year, and then it gets even more interesting because the money component becomes an issue, right? And that's what this all comes down to, is what is going to happen eventually when they get to the point where money is a concern. And I don't know what that's going to look like, and they don't either, so I'm eager to see how it plays out. But the bottom line is Tausch sent me, or Jesse, one of you two sent me and I refuse to click on the link because I'm guaranteeing you that it's some Yahoo who's not a real NFL insider, suggesting the Packers send Watson, Dobbs, and a second round pick to Dallas for CD Lamb. And I thought, okay, again, you're not getting my click, even though I am very curious who on earth considers himself a quote insider to make that prediction. There's no way the Packers would ever do that. Like, and Stevie Lamb's a very, very good player. There's no doubt about that. So you would give away two of your top receivers and a pick? They need to get one of those trade machines, right? Because that doesn't make any sense for the Packers. So
it sounds like a Cowboys fan who is upset that they haven't done
anything
this
offseason. That's exactly what it sounds like. Precisely, Jesse.
You can't even do that in Madden, and you can't even do that if a fantasy owner, if a fantasy manager took that trade. I don't know. Whoever accepts that trade is, you know, is definitely just wants
Cowboys
to be in Cancun
be
sooner. Let's say that. They want to be in Cancun.
The Cowboys should definitely take that trade.
Well, yes.
Jerry Jones may have been the insider who leaked that.
Jerry Jones leaking on the Cowboys subreddit. That's what it is.
There you go.
Jason, can you stick around with us for another segment? Pablo's got some questions about Jaden Reed. I don't know if he's going to comp him to Corey Bradford or anybody who years past, but are you willing to stick around?
Antonio Chapman. sure. We're going to get on the road, so yes, I'd be happy to do that.
Awesome. Thank you, friend. We'll catch up more with Jason Wildy coming up next. Jesse Nelson, Pablo Iglesias in for Craig and Kyle, live from University Ridge in the AmFam Championship. Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. One, here comes the two, to the three, to the four. Tell them bring another round, we need plenty more. Two stepping on the table, she don't need a dance floor. Oh my, good Lord. Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. No Craig Karmazin, no Kyle Wallace today. Jesse Nelson, Pablo Iglesias with you live from the 2024 AmFam Championship final round. Everybody's out on the course now, including the co-leaders Ernie Els and Steve Stricker at 9-under, teeing off just moments ago. So stay tuned for updates throughout the morning. TV coverage on the Golf Channel, if you can't make it out to University Ridge today, begins at 1:30. And now we get back to talking Packers. We'll give you more of a leaderboard update as the round continues here this morning. Jesse and Pablo joined by Jason Wilde covering the Green Bay Packers up in Titletown. Of course, you hear him on Wilde and Tausch every weekday morning, 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. Before the break, Pablo, I said you had a question about Jaden Reed. You wanted to ask Jason Wilde. The floor is yours.
Yeah, so Wilde, Jesse and I, as we were talking about this too, the other question that we posed, who could be out of this four core that we talked about, or even just this wide receiver room in general, if they were presented with, as we've been saying, presented with the bag from another team, but in truly just looking at the way that this landscape is across the league, that the wide receiver money is out there, that teams are willing to pay, if you fit in this system, that they're willing to pay big bucks for you. Can you make a solid case if Jaden Reed is a man of his word? He doesn't get the money that he's hoping the Packers could give him. If he does make that jump that he's talking about, could you potentially see him using that to his advantage and trying to test the market? Again, that is if he makes that big leap. Where do you see this potential outlook for Jaden Reed?
Yeah, I mean, not only is that an if of whether or not he makes that leap, Pablo, it's also he just finished his rookie year. Like, he's not even eligible for an extension until year three, but yeah, I mean, you know, I know Rob Domofsky did a really good piece on ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com about how good Reed can be and that there's guys in the league that think he could be a 100-catch guy. I agree. I don't know if he's going to be a 100-catch guy in this offense if everybody stays healthy. Like, what we spend so much time talking about, and I didn't do this story. I felt like everyone was doing it, so I didn't do it in the State Journal. Instead, I did a story that about the love notes that the quarterback was sending to all the draft picks as they were drafted and how that helped them assimilate to the roster, which I thought was pretty fun. But everyone was writing the, they don't need a number one receiver, which is fine. But at some point, you would like to see one of them emerge at least, or maybe more than one, as being capable of being a one. Now, I think it's interesting. The San Francisco 49ers have two guys that you would say are studs, right? In Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk, who went one pick before Jordan Love, and there were reports that that's who the Packers wanted to pick. 49ers moved in front of them, took Brandon Ayuk, and that's how they ended up with Jordan Love. I don't think they plan on paying either of those guys. They certainly don't plan on paying Deebo Samuel again. And so what I think they did, if you look at their draft, they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They drafted another one in the fourth round. Like, I think the, you know, rinse, repeat, draft, develop, let walk, get a compensatory pick, draft a new wide receiver. I do think that there are going to be teams, especially ones that run the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur system, that are going to go that route. Now, the test will be, what are they going to do in Cincinnati? Right? They've got Ja'Marr Chase coming up on needing an extension. They've got T. Higgins franchise tagged. Are they going to do what the Dolphins have done and pay two wide receivers big money? And how are they going to allocate their money otherwise if they do that? So I think the wide receiver market is really fascinating. You're right. There are teams that are going to be willing to pay guys. I just don't know to what degree the Packers will be one of those teams. Will they be willing to pay one of their own early, hoping to get an extension discount by paying him during his third season so they don't have to worry about, you know, him hitting the market and getting market forces to drive up his price tag? I don't know. My advice to Packers fans is enjoy this while it lasts, because you got a bunch of really good wide receivers. They're making $12 million a year combined right now, and you're getting really good production, and you can only expect it to be even better this season.
Wilde, just one quick question, too. Your scale from 1 to 10, putting you on the spot, how confident are you in Jaden Reed emerging as that wide receiver one at the end of this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably an 8 or a 9 of him being capable of that. That doesn't mean he's going to be the one who does. Like, as Jesse well knows, I'm a Dontavian Wicks guy. I think he's got better size. He's got more traditional wide receiver skills. You know, if we're playing the comparison game, I think Reed is like a hybrid. He's more than Randall Cobb. He's not quite, at this point anyway, Greg Jennings, but similar kind of size, that kind of stuff. When I look at Wicks, and Matt LaFleur said this in a production meeting with Aikman and Buck, and then was really less than thrilled when they mentioned it on the telecast on Monday Night Football, that he sees similarities to Devontae, which is unfair to Wicks, but I agree with him in that his feet, his ability to get up the line of scrimmage with his releases, there are some similarities there. Now, he's got to prove that he can be more than the guy last year with 39 catches. What skews all of this is for so long, all these rookie wide receivers, and this goes back to what Jesse was saying about Dobbs, they weren't getting this much opportunity like these guys have the last 2 years. Like, James Jones had the most catches by a rookie with 47 in 2007. Like, these guys are all getting way more opportunities than most rookies get as they work their way up the depth chart.
Jason Wilde, every weekday, 9 to noon on 100.5 ESPN, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Wilde and Tausch, very well-produced show every weekday morning from 9 to noon.
Get in the bag, from what I've heard.
Get in the bag, yeah. And Jason, for fans looking for more from you, what's in today's Wisconsin State Journal?
I don't know if it's in the print edition or not. I'm an online subscriber. But, yeah, that story about Jordan Love, I really enjoyed writing that. I spent a little time with him after the group dispersed on Tuesday. And I got a kick out of our conversation, and I made it into a story. Can I get a leaderboard update? You know I love the leaderboard updates. Before I go, you have a AmFam Championship leaderboard update.
Well, let me tease it to you like this. We will have a special one coming up at 11:30. It looks like that Strick and the leader group have just teed off. We haven't gotten a live update yet. The group just behind, actually looks like Stephen Ames has jumped up 17 spots, 6 under, but we're still waiting on the marquee group right now. But don't worry, 11:30, give or take, is when we'll make some magic happen. Let me just put it that way, Wilde.
Pablo's been teasing this for like 2 hours now. He's like, oh, I can't wait to give a leaderboard update.
Right? I'm excited. Let's
no
just
one's
going to
love
way.
It more than Jason. Oh. We know that.
Yeah. Jesse's actually going to let you do that, though.
I know, man.
And the fact that you jumped right in and prevented him from giving it is even better. I love it. All right, guys. Enjoy the rest of your day at U-Ridge, and hopefully Steve Stricker can go back-to-back. Nothing against Ernie Els, but he's obviously our friend of our show and a friend of pretty much everybody in Madison, so I hope he pulls it off.
All right, Jason. Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate you on this Sunday morning.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch, weekdays 9 to noon. Read him in the Wisconsin State Journal. You can even subscribe to the Wilde podcast on Wisconsin On Demand, Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts, so you can just hear all of Jason's best material when he joins all of our ESPN Wisconsin shows throughout the course of the week. Jesse Nelson, Pablo Iglesias, live from University Ridge Golf Course in the 2024 AmFam Championship Final Round. Everybody's out on the course. We'll keep you updated throughout the course of our show with you till noon this morning. Coming up next, Pablo Iglesias makes his debut, trying to answer correctly the 7 at 11.
Let's do it.
We'll do it in 2 minutes. It's Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin.